B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A man set himself on fire in a car in an apparent anti-vaccine protest on a busy street in Melbourne, Australia. Video shows a silver hatchback fully in flames, while diners nearby restaurants reported hearing screams.
Wow. Oh, man. You know what? Skip the dessert.
Witnesses said police and firefighters managed to extinguish the flames before restraining the man. He was then taken to the hospital in an ambulance with life-threatening injuries. Lydia O'Connor was having dinner at a nearby restaurant when she heard a man screaming. She said he poured gas on himself and on his car. It was on purpose. He was screaming about mandates. He was screaming no vax ID and throwing books as well. Police cordoned off the area near the intersection after the incident and told customers at surrounding businesses to stay indoors. That's messed up.
No, wow, man. Yeah. Right. That's not a way to go.
Speaking of fires, I did not know this, but people in France torched nearly 874 vehicles across the country to mark the new year as part of their decades-old tradition.
Yes.
They light cars on fire
every year. Yes.
All right.
And the 874 is lower than previous years. In 2019,
well, now you're not trying.
1,316 cars were set on fire.
Ooh la la.
Meanwhile, authorities, ooh la la, that's hot. Meanwhile, authorities in the country also had taken in more people for questioning than in the previous years, with 441 brought in compared to 376 in 2000.
All right, the question is, did you burn a car?
Wow. How about this messed up story? A Tennessee man strangled to death his neighbor's pet kangaroo after he attacked the man's wife as they tried to lure the roaming animal back into its enclosure.
So the kangaroo attacks the man's wife and he strangles it to death.
Uh-huh. The shocking incident occurred at the property owned by Hope and Chris Leah, about 20 miles north of Nashville. Authorities responded to the home after reports of two people who had been in a battle with a male kangaroo named Carter.
Dude, you just killed a kangaroo. You got to bounce.
Carter's owners came home to find their other kangaroos milling around the dead animal. And according to Hope, one of the owners, she said he didn't have to. He didn't have nowhere to go. He was choked to death in his own space. Tennessee laws
makes you think, doesn't it?
Allow people to own kangaroos, with males costing around $2,000 and females going for $3,000. She said, we'd had Carter ever since he was a little nugget. It's like losing a family member. The incident began after neighbors had spotted that Carter had escaped from his enclosure on the owner's property. The neighbors called the Leahs to see that if they could get the kangaroo back into his normal confinement. The Leahs said they told the neighbors, who were not immediately named, that they could feed the kangaroo to lure him back into his area with the Leahs' fenced-in property.
Right.
Leahs' fenced-in property. So the couple said, also said that they would be home within an hour to take care of the situation. The woman was reportedly assaulted by the kangaroo after she and her husband entered the Leah's property in an effort to bring him back to the enclosure. And that's when the woman's husband stepped in and strangled the kangaroo, killing Carter before the Leah's arrived back home. Neither of the neighbors were seriously hurt. So I think this dude went a little overboard.
A little overboard. When you strangle a kangaroo, you better have a good reason. That's what my grandma always said.
The Leahs said that they returned home to find the younger kangaroo surrounding Carter's lifeless body. The couple are now looking at a potential lawsuit against the neighbors over their pet kangaroo's death.
There's got to be a law firm that handles this thing specifically, right?
It was still unclear whether or not the husband responsible for the killing Carter will face criminal charges.
If your kangaroo's been strangled, call us anytime, day or night.
This is a great story. Vancouver Canucks assistant equipment manager Brian Hamilton didn't realize that he had a cancerous growth on his neck until he visited Seattle in October. An eagle-eyed fan sitting behind the Canucks bench for the Kraken's inaugural home game on October 23rd saw something that concerned her, and Hamilton got the chance to say thanks to that fan, a woman named Nadia Popovici, and let the world know the story. So the Canucks and the Kraken announced a joint $10,000 fund, by the way, to go toward Popovici's medical training. She had been going to medical school and had been accepted by several schools but hasn't chosen one yet, or she was about to get into medical school.
Right.
So the Canucks had shared a message on social media Saturday morning asking for help tracking down the woman who had alerted Hamilton to the growth on his neck. And it didn't take long for word to spread and for her family to connect. And about an hour after the Canucks had posted the message, a reply came in suggesting the family of Popovici was looking to make contact. So at that game, she was sitting behind the bench and got Hamilton's attention as he was rearranging pads, gloves, and skates. Between periods, she had written a note on her phone that said she was concerned about a mole that she noticed on his neck.
Wow.
She made the text on the screen large and colorful, obviously hoping that he noticed it. He finally saw it but didn't think much of it initially. He said, I had it had irregular borders, is what she said,
right.
And it was discolored and fairly large. Popovici had spent some time helping in an oncology ward where she was familiar with what cancers like Hamilton's looked like.
Hmm.
Hamilton said Saturday that Popovici had changed his life. She extended my life. He said, I've got a wonderful family, a wonderful daughter, saved my life. She didn't take me out of a burning car like a big story, but she took me out of a slow fire. Hamilton said the message Popovici relayed to him on her phone will forever be etched in his mind. And apparently, he didn't think much of it at
right.
first.
It was sort of dismissive of it.
Yeah, and it lingered. Once he went back home to Vancouver, he asked his wife, Jess, to take a look at it. And she said that, yeah, it did look a little unusual. And then he went and got a doctor to take a look at it, the team's doctor, who agreed that the mole looked concerned and took a biopsy. And within days, it had been completely removed by a specialist who said that it was cancerous, a malignant melanoma. Had he let it go for another year or so, it could have killed him.
This reminds me of that story. There was a home improvement show. Remember that person where the host had
It was Tariq. It was the Almousa or whatever.
Right,
and
right.
He had, it was the thyroid. Yeah.
Is that it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some where people can spot an eye cancer problem by the photos that are
yes.
taking and
yeah.
stuff like that. So it's a good thing that this gal saw that and let him know about it, and he has gotten it taken care of, which is really, really cool.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
A Malayan tiger named Echo was shot and killed at the Naples Zoo in Florida on Wednesday after attacking a man who attempted to feed and pet him after hours.
So it's this idiot's fault that gets the animal killed.
That is correct. A man in his 20s who was a member of a third-party cleaning service at the zoo entered an unauthorized area near the tiger that was inside its enclosure. Preliminary information indicates that the man was either petting or feeding the animal, sticking his hand through the fencing when the tiger grabbed his arm and pulled it into the enclosure.
Yeah.
The cleaning company is responsible for cleaning restrooms and the gift shop, not the animal enclosures. Deputies arrived at the zoo and...
Well, I think it's implied if you're cleaning a gift shop that you should be able to get full access to the tiger cage.
A deputy tried to get the tiger to release the man's arm by kicking the enclosure. When that didn't work, the deputy shot the tiger. After being shot, the 4-year-old tiger retreated to the back of the enclosure. Deputies flew a drone into the enclosure where he was unresponsive. A veterinarian sedated the animal, examined it when it was safe to do so, and the tiger had later died. The bitten man was seriously injured and transported to the hospital. I'm sure he's going to face some kind of a disciplinary issue or get sued or something like that because the zoo
it was his fault.
Make money off of the tiger and they might have grounds.
A show of solidarity, Preston. Harambe's widow attended the tiger's funeral.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah.
Harambe.
Nice. D's out for Harambe.
A man was charged Monday after a string of alleged thefts, including a lawnmower, trail cameras, archery targets, and a concrete Sasquatch.
I've got a plan.
Lyle Frank Sellers.
I know this seems arbitrary, but trust me.
Faces a felony theft charge and two misdemeanors. The thefts reportedly took place between August and November, and a criminal complaint states a caller reported a stolen lawnmower from a farm on August 7th. On September 10th, a caller reported a 300-pound concrete Sasquatch statue was stolen. Also, someone reportedly stole and had stolen an outdoor archery target, and sellers later identified on the scene in surveillance footage. The caller also said they received a text from a neighbor earlier in the day.
Now all they need is 10,000 marbles.
The text said, "Do me a favor and put that target in your garage. Lyle shouldn't be coming around anymore, but he's crazy and he will steal that." A police officer recalled an email about recent thefts and saw what appeared to be the archery targets in Seller's backyard. The officer knocked on Seller's door, receiving no response, left to continue to confirm that the targets were stolen the property. A week later, an officer reported seeing a Sasquatch statue in Seller's yard.
Where'd you get that?
And the officer found that the sheriff's office was looking for the stolen Sasquatch statue. After one report,
well, this must be another one,
of a trail camera theft on October 22nd, a man called about a separate trail cam theft on October 27th. The caller told the sheriff's office he was following a truck driven by someone who had stolen the camera earlier in the day. A deputy followed the truck to Seller's residence and detained him, and he reportedly consented to a search of the truck. Officers obtained search warrants for his truck and residence, seized the trail camera, archery target, Sasquatch statue, and lawnmower. Seller said he bought the Sasquatch on Etsy.
Okay.
While a woman who identified herself as Dana Sellers told police that he'd bought one of the targets last year, too. So it's complicated,
and
folks.
Boy, yeah.
But they've got to work those issues out.
Wait till you bring all that stuff to the pawn shop.
Man. Well, maybe you've always dreamed of running a pub, or maybe you have bigger dreams, an island all to your own, or being crowned a king or queen.
Wow.
A small British island is currently on the lookout for all three, though the gig may be harder work than it sounds. Peel Island, a mere 50 acres large, is located about a half mile off of the Furness Peninsula on the western coast of northern England. Thanks to the island's beauty and history, ferries shuttle tourists to and from the island from April to September, and so, this being England, the island has a pub. It's called the Ship Inn. However, running the pub comes with more responsibilities than just serving drinks. The landlord is also in charge of watching over the entire island, even during the quiet off-season months. The Barrowborough Council, the local authority who oversees the island, says the history of the inn dates back over 300 years, while the first recorded landlord, Edward Postwaite, served from 1746 to 1766, and at some point another interesting title was added to the job, though the exact origins were unclear, since at least the 1800s, whoever runs the pub is crowned as King of Peel Island.
I'm King Puswit.
As an initiation, this new leader must sit in an ancient chair, donning a helmet, holding a rusty sword, while buckets of beer are dumped on their head.
Sounds very noble.
But they legitimately want someone to do this.
So, given the location that you gave, that island must be a nightmare out of season.
Yeah, I would think so. Now, it's interesting because a guy named John Murphy, who for 40 years had been leading walks to the island, sometimes the tides are low enough you can apparently walk over to the island instead of taking a ferry.
Wow.
Said that running the pub and overseeing the island was no easy task. He said, "You can't just nip across to Tesco for a loaf of bread when you're on the Peel Island.
Of course not.
You'll have to have dedication and strong passion for isolation and peace and quiet if it takes a special personality," he said, but they're looking for a king of the island. Someone in Ohio expecting a gift by air will now have to go to the sheriff's department to claim it. A drone carrying marijuana, cell phones, and tobacco crashed into a home on Monday evening. A woman living at the home heard something hit her house, ran outside, and found the drone.
Thank you, God!
It had a package attached to it with a cord, and the woman told deputies the drone was still beeping when she found it. Immediately called 911. According to the sheriff's report, all of the lights on the drone were covered with duct tape. Sheriff's deputies are asking anyone who has any information on this incident to call them. And one last story, as if the year wasn't weird enough already. Wasn't weird enough already. Now there are fish falling from the sky in East Texas. Several residents in Texarkana posted pictures and videos to social media Wednesday after finding fish scattered in some unlikely places, including their lawns and sidewalks. And according to the city, this phenomenon is referred to as animal rain and occurs when small water animals are swept up in the water spouts or drafts that occur on the surface of the earth. We've heard about these things before.
Yes, of course.
Animals like frogs, crabs, and small fish are then rained down when the forecast calls for showers.
Ever livestock?
This time it was fish and Texarkana. So I don't know if livestock have ever been heard of.
It's raining cows.
But anyhow, that is what I have in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.